This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday morning, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 23rd, episode 1262, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cussing this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I write a song. Everybody hears and they sing along. Hey, hey.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning, everybody. We really appreciate you being here, and it's nice to be back with Jamie. We really did have a show planned for Monday, Jamie. We were just about to start our meeting and discovered we couldn't because Skype was down, and turned out it was going to be down all day till about 6 o'clock that night. And we actually connect to each other through Skype, so there was no real other way to do it. But so we do apologize for not being here on Monday, and we had so much to talk about. But it made today's show prep easy because I just copied everything for Monday. So
I'm gonna sue Skype.
I know you had much to talk about.
I had so much to talk about, and it's just, you know, I'm like bubbling over. Like I just went outside and talked to a tree on Monday. That's because I had to get it out.
And you don't understand. She usually would really like the idea of not having to do the show and go out riding, but she was just bursting on Monday. She's like, "Can't we record it? Can't we do it any other way?"
Well, that, and I don't make any money when Skype's broken. And Mama needs some money, and we'll talk about
right
why.
Right now. Yeah, exactly. Especially, hey, I'll tell you who doesn't need money. And that's Jennifer Gates, Bill Gates' daughter. Do you remember how she got that new $18 million ranch down in Wellington?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? Well, she has a new horse to put in it now. Pepper Pot is a 13... Yes, I said Pepper Pot.
That's the cutest name ever.
I know. It's a 13-year-old gray mare, and she bought it out of... She likes the Irish warm blood, so this is an Irish warm blood she got out of Ireland. And they paid a measly $1 million for this show-jumping prodigy.
Well, Pepper Pot, Glenn. I mean, come on, you've heard of it. It's like clearly amazing.
It is. It must be.
they got a deal at $1 million. Do you think that the person who had Pepper Pot for sale? Oh, Pepper Pot, somebody's coming to look at you today.
It was on Craigslist for $25,000 till Bill Gates called.
And then they're like, "Hi, this is Bill Gates. Pepper Pot has been in training a lot,
yes,
and the price has gone up.
That's right.
To a cool million. Yes. Do you think that when Bill Gates and his daughter show up to ride your horse, there's like a little bit of added pressure?
Yeah, a little bit.
Pepper Pot, please. Pepper Pot, please get your
don't
flying dump
changes.
Her. Is it Pepper Pot or Pepper Pot?
It's Pepper Pot, P-O-T.
Like, Pepper Pot is the last name of Iron Man's girl.
Oh, that's right.
No, that's Pot. No, she's Pot. Pepper Pot, isn't it?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
See, now I originally thought Pepper Pot was 007, but I'm getting my movies mixed up.
See, it's Iron Man.
It's Iron Man.
Pot. It's plural.
Oh, okay. So that was obviously a takeoff on that. Maybe they spelled it wrong.
Or it's a trademark name and Bill Gates knew better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she needs some, you know, an $18 million ranch. You need some horses, right? So.
Yeah, right.
Might as well add them to the list.
Pepper Pot needs a couple of friends, though, and I happen to have a horse for sale.
For a cool $500,000?
I will let this horse go for, I don't know, I'll let it go for $750.
Oh, well,
so just let me know.
You are generous.
I know. I'm pretty nice.
You're caring like that.
I know. But Pepper Pot needs a friend. And I love saying Pepper Pot.
I know.
I think I'm going to name my next horse.
It is a great name.
That's a good mare name. Okay, sorry.
Jennifer, what's coming up? We have a lot to do today. We have to catch up for Monday.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, following a protracted review of the weekend's horse adventures, we will be joined by Lindsay Brock from Jennifer Wood Media, and she's got a look at the second annual Central Park Horse Show with a new twist added this year. Next up, the European report from Victoria Spicer has a long list of exciting horse show results from across the pond. And then rounding out the show, Nancy Yesko announces a contest for budding equestrian photographers everywhere. And last but not least, happy Great American Pot Pie Day, everybody.
Thank you, Jennifer.
What a holiday.
Hey, that's important. When you came from Pennsylvania, pot pie is a holiday.
It's also the first day of fall. I wonder if that corresponds.
Could be. Hey, it is the first day of fall. Autumn, isn't it? Well, that's right.
Well, that's what Google told me. So
that's why our humidity has dropped about 10%, and it's been a noticeable difference in the last week. It's been good.
Woohoo! Yeah, it's only going to be like 100 today. It's really
cooling off by the time we come in 4 weeks.
It should be in the beautiful, lovely mid-90s.
Oh, well, it'd just be like home. It'd just be like we're gone from Florida to, it'd be just like home. All right, Daily Winnie time. My Daily Winnie goes out to a friend of ours, and that is Fergus the horse. Of course, he's the cartoon horse that everybody sees everywhere on Facebook, and he exceeded 300,000 likes on Facebook, and his author, Jean Abernathy, has been a regular guest on our shows. So she is actually putting out a book of Fergus the horse. It's going to be all of his adventures in book form, and that's coming out in, I believe it's the middle of October, and she's going to stop by the day before the book launch. So we'll talk to her then, but I wanted to give her a Daily Winnie. She's a super nice lady. We've known her for years, and Fergus, of course, is very funny. So we're glad that Fergus is seeing so much success. 300,000 fans for a cartoon horse.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. And he's just so darn cute.
He is. Definitely is.
Well, I tell you what, I'm happy and I'm sad all at the same time. I'm sad. I'm so sad because, everybody, wait for it. Glenn, you're going to be shocked. Victor Espinosa is no longer on Dancing with the Stars.
He got booted the first week?
No, second.
Oh, he got through the second week. And what was it this week? Was it salsa last week? So what was it this week?
They had to do two dances. Now, I didn't see last night's, and apparently it was a train wreck. But tonight's was really, really good.
He had a good one? He had one good one out of three?
He got some scores, and it was between him and the just wickedly evil, scary Gary Busey. Oh my gosh, that guy's
how is he still on? I heard that what's her name, the singer lady, got booted before Gary Busey. Who got booted the first week?
I don't know.
Khan. What's her name?
I don't know who got booted the first week, but it wasn't Victor. So let me just tell you that I don't watch every second of it. I fast forward to watch Bindi, and I fast forward to watch Victor. But I got this text last night from my sister-in-law because she's like a super fan. And she's like, I just watched Victor Espinosa nuzzle Karina's boobies on DWTS. Because that he comes up to her boobies like that. She's so tall. Anyway, so he got the boot last night. It was really sad. And you know what people were saying was that he's just the most fun person to be around. He's just so positive and always smiling and always happy. And he just seems like that kind of guy. He's just so grateful to be there. And everybody was genuinely sad that he was leaving. And I think everybody's genuinely sad Gary Busey's not. Now, I said that I'm happy and I'm sad at the same time. And I'll tell you why I'm happy. Because I don't have to watch that godforsaken show anymore. My God, I'm so sick of it. And it's causing marital strife.
I thought you loved this show.
Do you know what happens when you watch The Voice and Dancing with the Stars on two nights in a row? Your husband hates you.
Right after you've adopted another dog. Yeah. You were already in the pound yourself. So
I'm already in trouble. So,
oh, I did see there was a guy that sang, was it last night on The Voice, that turned out to be a sensation. I did watch that video this morning, and it was really good. I can't remember his name, though.
I seriously cried like probably twice an episode when I watched The Voice, because people's backstories are so heart-wrenching, and just the crap that people go through and can like put it behind them and do a song like this. This one girl was like, my dad was in the war and he got hit by a roadside bomb. And
oh, geez.
I mean, she wasn't crying like that, but I was like, I was like, oh my God. And then she gets out there and she starts singing and nobody turned around. They sent her home.
Oh, geez. Like, oh! I watched, it was the heavier set kid who sang so well.
Oh gosh, he was so good.
He was good. He was really good.
Shockingly good. And I love that show. I do. It's typically very positive. The backstories are killing me this year though, because they're just showing too many people that don't pick. And I just want it all. I want everybody to get picked.
And we're not going to talk about it today because we haven't watched it yet. We're going to watch it tonight. We taped it. The new Muppet Show. Did you actually watch it?
I forgot. There was just too much.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it on Friday because we have not watched that yet. So, you know, the Million Moms group wanted the network to pull the Muppet Show because it was too adult. Well, I got news for you. They're advertising it as an adult show. They're not even advertising it as a kid's show. And if you watch the original Muppets and go back, there was a lot of adult humor in the original Muppet Show. It was innuendo and it was really disguised, but there was adult humor in the original show. So get over it. It's
SpongeBob has adult humor in it. So
yeah. Right. And kids don't get it anyway.
Uh-huh.
So I can't. Anyway, we have not watched it yet. We'll be watching that tonight. It's on the schedule.
Okay. Well, good.
Well, now, when we last left you, we were supposed to be here Monday to hear about it, but we couldn't. So when we last left you on Friday, somebody had posted, some kind soul had posted on your page about this rescued dog that needed a home or it was going to get put down like the next 10 minutes. So you were heading out after the show on Friday to rescue this dog so it didn't get put down in 10 minutes. And that's where we left you, except for the 1,000 pictures you have posted over the weekend on Facebook. So catch us up to date.
So long story short, I went on Friday to meet him and I took Lucas and it's kind of like there's 1,000 cages. Oh my gosh. My heart just broke every step I took into that place. And you go through and you request to have an appointment with a dog or whatever, meet and greet, and they bring it to you and they brought it out and Lucas just loved him and he loved Lucas. Lucas took him on a leash and took him around everywhere. I posted a video about it and it was just adorable. They really got along.
It's an old basset hound, right?
Like he's like 100.
Okay.
Actually, they really said he's 8, but he looks 100. He's had a really, really hard life. He's got, he was a very daunting case. But as you guys know, I used to have a basset hound and I loved her and she was a rescue. And I just wanted to, I saw his picture and I'm like, nobody's going to adopt this dog. So he's got tumors everywhere. And if you feel his ribs, like a couple of them are malformed. Like he was out with the horses and I went to push him with my shoe and he screamed. I didn't even touch him. But my foot coming at him, he screamed. So he's been kicked. He's been beat up. He's just the happiest little basset hound. So I had to adopt him. Even though all the stuff going on with him health-wise, I thought, okay, well, you know, nobody's going to give you a chance. And he was going to be euthanized Friday night because they had deemed him unadoptable because all of his health problems. So I went and I adopted him, but then
what kind of disclaimers did they make you sign to adopt this particular dog? Like you understand that this dog has millions of health problems.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It was like a list. You understand that you will have to take this dog to your own veterinary because we don't have the medicine to do this, 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 this. And so, yeah, I was like, yeah, I get it. And I know I'll take him. That's fine. So, they neuter him before you go, because of course this guy hasn't been neutered and he's old and he's got, you know, so he was neutered Saturday morning. I didn't know. I'm like, well, I guess he'll survive. We'll see if he'll survive the anesthesia. So he survived and I went and picked him up and I swear to you, I think one of the most fun things about rescuing a dog is taking him out of a pound and putting him in your car. And they're like, I'm going somewhere. The picture I took was him in the car, and he just stared into the camera. He stared into my soul. He is just the sweetest, sweetest thing I have ever seen. The problem with him is he smells really, really, really bad. I mean, unbelievable. And he's in the car with me, and I'm
okay,
like,
from not being bathed or health issues or both.
I didn't know.
Okay.
But of course now he can't be bathed for 5 days because he's got the incision or whatever. So I'm like, Lord, in trouble here.
I'd be scrubbing him down anyway.
He stinks. So get him home, and I'm like, your breath is so bad. I've got to look at your teeth. I've got to just do it. And I lift up his gums, and he has this giant, what is called hyperplasia or something. His gums had like an injury and they've grown, and he has this giant golf ball sized mass underneath his mouth, covering, like wrapped around his canine. And then you look at his back teeth, all of them are black, black. There is not a good tooth in this dog's mouth. And if you guys are dog owners, I know, sorry, it's really gross. And he smells really bad. And his ear, and the other thing is ear infections. He's got massive ear infections. So the ears and the teeth are a mess. So, you know, they give you a free exam with, they give you a list of vet clinics that'll give you a free exam with each dog you adopt from the Maricopa County Animal Control. So what? I don't want to turn this into a small animal veterinary rant, but what is up with all of these vet clinics that are owned by these big corporations that have, they have to hit quotas now? Do you know anything about this?
I know that a lot of them are owned by big corporations.
Yeah, and they have these quotas to hit and everything. So I took him to, my point is, he's the sweetest thing ever. He follows me everywhere. Basset hounds don't follow you around or anything. Usually they lay there and they smell something and they wander off. He will not let me get Glenn out of his sight. He just won't. I mean, he like 3 feet from me all the time. If I get in the car, he was trying to get in the car. Basset hounds don't go for car rides. They don't jump in the car. And he's like scrambling to get in the car. He's very small. Yeah, with those little legs. His claws were like 6 inches. He looked like Freddy Krueger.
He is cute as a Dickens, I have to say. I know I busted your chops pretty good on Friday, but he is cute as a Dickens. That one picture you took of him looking up was really, really cute.
Oh, that was, he's just heartbreakingly cute. He's just so sweet.
And he does kind of look like he needs some vittles, too. He looked a little underweight, too.
Well, and I realized, too, he's
just not being able to eat, probably.
He can't eat anything. Yeah. So I went out and got him, like, the soft food, and he is so hungry. But I can't, like, stuff him full of it, you know? So I give him, like, a controlled amount a couple times a day, and he's just really, really hungry. Because there's no, he can't eat kibble. I gave him kibble and pumpkin, organic pumpkin, to, you know, clear his system out a little bit, and he just looked at it like, I wish I could eat that. He like knew better. So he's been hungry for a long time. And again, remember, this was an owner surrender. This sweet, sweet dog has been so neglected.
He was going to have vet bills, so they turned him in. So you went to the vet. What was the scoop?
They quoted me. Now, this is a vet who I said, listen, I adopted this dog for $10 on Saturday. I just want to make him comfortable. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to make him young again. I just want him comfortable. I just want his ears taken care of and his mouth. Don't worry about the tumors. Don't worry about anything. And they proceed to give me a quote to take care of his ears for $900 and to take care of his teeth for $2,700.
We don't want, like, replacement ears. We just want them cleaned. We don't want new ears sewn on. We just want.
They gave me this quote, and I look at it and I'm like, you are charging me $300 for a sample. They will like take a swab of his ears and send it off to the lab, and then there's like a lab
for $300.
It was ridiculous. And I'm like, we don't need to sample.
Dr. Pohl will do it for $5.
I know. Dr. Pohl getting there and just plop them off and they'll be fine. And so they, and then it's like, oh, well, to put him under anesthesia, we need to do a senior blood panel to make sure his kidneys are good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, he survived anesthesia on Saturday. He'll be fine. I said, you don't need to find out how his kidneys are or his liver is or his whatever is, because it doesn't matter. I'm like, he needs his teeth done. So there's nothing you can do. Well, we need to do while he's under, we need to do the senior blood panel. We need to do heartworms. I'm like, so what if he has heartworms? That's the least of his problems. Oh, well, we have to biopsy the tumor. And there's four tumors that are visible on his body. We have to biopsy each of those and send them to the lab to see if it's cancer. Well, what if it is cancer? What are you going to do? I mean, what, you mean to send him to
Oh, then you have to go to chemo. Then you have to go to chemo. That's right.
He's like 100. Just fix his teeth. Pull what you have to pull. I just want his dental done. I left there so mad. And so it's this big company, and that's just what they do. And so I went and got a second opinion yesterday. I called another vet on the list, and I walked into that vet yesterday, and I looked at him like, God darn it, this is the same place, just in a different location. Same company, same, looked exactly the same. The tile floor was the same. All the decor was the same. I'm like, man, I went to the same dang place, just in a different location. Same company. But I walked in to the little exam room with the technician, and she looks at me and she goes, nice Ariats. I was like, huh? She's like, you ride? Like, yeah. I said, you ride? I said, you must ride because you knew what my paddock boots are. She's like, yeah, I'm an eventer. What do you do? I was like, shut up. There are no eventers in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. So this tech is a horse chick and she's an eventer, and we're like speaking the same language. And I'm like, listen, here's the deal. I went to one of your dang sister clinics yesterday and they tried to fill quotas. I said, I want bare bones with this dog. What's going to take to fix the teeth? I bought the medicine for the ears. The $900 ears cost me $120. I'm like, give me the antibiotic shot. Give me the cleaner. And give me the medicine. That's all I need. I don't need samples. I don't need parts of his tumors removed and sent off to labs and $400 blood work. And I just want, give me the medicine. So this place, I'm like, listen, you're with me here. We spend our money on our horses, you know, vet bills with horses, we don't question. But here I'm like, just bare bones it. And so $1,800.
Oh my God. It's still $1,800. That's surgery. You know, I had this happen actually once to me. Jennifer doesn't let me go to the vet with the dogs anymore. So I bring our last greyhound in, and she was getting older, and I wanted her teeth cleaned. Well, it was $1,500 later because they talked me into that, those blood work you're talking about, and also a complete body x-ray.
Oh my gosh.
And so it was kind of cool seeing my greyhound's complete body x-ray and her three broken backs at one point, apparently when she was racing and had her accident and everything. I came home and Jennifer could have killed me. She was about ready to kill me.
Well, they make you feel so bad.
They did. Like, they made me feel guilty that I didn't do all this stuff, which apparently didn't need done.
I'm like, this dog has already outkicked its coverage. Like, it's already lived longer than it was supposed to.
I mean, really, what you're trying to do is make him comfortable so he has a happy place to die. I mean, that, and when you do rescues like this, that's what you're trying to accomplish, is give him a happy year or two.
Yeah, exactly. And the vet who came in, she was very understandable. And she was like, I think that I can pull these teeth by looking at them. She's like, there's exposed root in his mouth. So pretty much everything in the back, like, there's just so many teeth. All his teeth need to be pulled except for maybe the front ones. So he's a mess. So I've got one more place I'm going to go this afternoon. And it is a vet that is in like the farm area. It's quite a ways away, but it's just one girl, one woman that owns the clinic. And she is the
Dr. Pohl's sister.
It's Dr. Pohl's sister. Okay. She's like the farmer's vet. So I'm going there and I'm going to see if it will work out that I can take him there and whatever. So we're going to give that a shot. Hopefully I can get that appointment today. But yeah, it just breaks your heart. He's just so sweet and he just looks at you and he's just so kind and he's so grateful. He is so grateful to not be in that clinic anymore and to have. So first night, Chad's like, he's staying outside because he smells like really bad. Staying outside. And I turn around and we're watching TV and like, you know, Zinni is on the couch and Danny's on the dog bed. And I look outside and he's like looking in the glass door, like staring into my soul. And I go, honey, please, please. And he goes, well, you lasted longer than I thought you would. And I was like, oh, green light. I open the door. He comes in. He flops down on the couch and passes out. Right. So that first night he slept in our closet. It's just you went back and slept in the closet.
Did you shut the door and put the humid or the potpourri in there? Did you?
Chad actually said that the next morning he's like, "Wow, our closet smells really bad."
All the his uniform was reeking when he went to work.
That was his little cage. His little cage was in there, and that's his where he was comfortable. The second night. He slept on the couch. Like I walked out to the living room and he's on the couch, like upside down, flopped out, like worn out. He's having so much fun. So he's very quickly settled into the life and the farm life. And he follows me everywhere. And I mean, I had to tie him up to ride because he was trying to follow the horse, you know, while I was riding yesterday, follow Thor.
And Thor's not long legs.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, you're in a sand arena. You're going to give yourself a heart attack. Like, stop. But he's very sweet. So,
well, I know you don't want to bring this up, but I'm going to bring it up. And I didn't notice this till this morning, actually, that you did. You are asking for a little bit of help on GoFundMe for his $2,000 worth of medical bills that he's going to have with his mouth. You know, I appreciate that. And it is, I did post a link to it on our Horses in the Morning page. If anybody's kind enough to want to help out a little bit. I did donate this morning on behalf of the Horse Radio Network. And, you know, podcasters, we don't make a lot of money. So when you have a $2,000 vet bill, it means something. And, you know, you did a good thing here. You know, as much as I busted your chops the other day about it, you did a good thing. And when I saw his face, I was like, well, how can you resist that? And besides, Basset Hounds are so darn cute.
That's so nice of you. I didn't want to bring it up on the show. It's not, you know, I mean, our listeners have their own rescues and have their own vet bills and all this stuff. I kind of more just threw that out there just in case, you know, somebody was out there and because I had so many people that were like, go adopt him. And so this is their fault. They have to. I'm just kidding. I put that up there just to, in case anything happened. And some people have donated. And I just like,
Jennifer
I can't even
Gates
believe
could
it.
Be listening.
You never know.
You never know. So
Jennifer, if you don't want to come buy this horse, you can just make a little donation.
Right. to Lucky. And his name is Lucky, right?
Well, it was going to be Lucky or Seabiscuit. And so
I kind of like Lucky. He doesn't look like a Seabiscuit.
Well, we're going to call him Biscuit. And so
Biscuit works.
Yes. Yeah. It was going to be Biscuit or Lucky. And Chad's like, I'll decide when I come home. And he walks in. He goes, yep, that's a Lucky. That's a Lucky dog.
There you go.
And so with our horse theme, because each one of my dogs is named after a racehorse, Zenyatta and Danny named after Wise Dan. Obviously, we had to stick with it. And if you know, California Chrome Sire is Lucky Pulpit. So there you go.
There you found a connection.
Horse theme and looking at Lucky. I mean, it was just perfect. So,
well, I'll tell you what, while people go make a donation, and you can find, again, you can find a link on our Horses in the Morning page. I have something for you that you have not heard before. And I just thought this would be appropriate, being that, you're kind of that girl. And I feel for Chad, you know, because he has become not just a horse husband, but a rescue husband. And there's a song by a guy by the name of Spencer Williams. And he's given us permission to play his song. And you need to listen closely because this is your life right
here.
Oh,
God. Oh, no.
Well, I knew I was in trouble when my wife saw this old horse. He's a pathetic thing, and she said, we've just got to take him home. Know that we can feed him up and get him back on his feet. Next thing I know, there's 14 more in my wife's rescue lead. Suddenly, she's getting 15,000 emails a day. most of them from people trying to send another horse our way.
Sound familiar?
A few times I tried to put the brakes on, but it was just too late. She'd hypnotized 14 other wives all across the state. Well, I guess there's worse obsessions that my darling wife could choose. But that sure don't stop me from having the rescue husband blues. We fostered 1,000 horses, most whose names I can't recall. But at least I know a little piece of my wallet went out with them all. Now my wife loves the horses, and I've just had to accept that. Having a little more trouble with these 40 dogs and cats. Everything was fine until they commandeered my chair. Covered every piece of clothing I own with piles and mounds of hair. Next thing you know, I'm gonna be renting another house. Cause the animals will unionize and quickly vote me out. I'd like to think my wife will side with me when that day comes. But I don't know, she's got little ears for creatures with opposable thumbs. I guess there's worse obsessions that my darling wife can choose. That sure don't stop me from having the rescue husband blues. We fostered 1,000 horses, most whose names I can't recall. But at least I know a little piece of my wallet went out with them all. Now I know some of you fellas out there can surely sympathize. Same thing's been going on at your house and with your darling wives.
Chad,
let's start us up a club. Let the meeting start. Cause there's a whole lot of Shinerbach beer in misery. Come on and do your part. We've got the rescue husband.
You need to play that for Chad.
No, I don't, because he lives it. Although,
it was you. This song is about you.
It is. I know. I love it. That's great. What? I need to be friends with his wife.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I don't. Oh, it's amazing, though. Chad did say when I brought the dog home, you know, Love Lucky, he looked at it. He looked at him. He goes, "You did a good job, honey. You did a good job. He's a good one." I'm like, "Yep. Thank you." So he's a big softy too. He likes to pretend he's not, and he definitely does not like spending money on vet bills. He thinks it's like crazy. But I think that he's a big softy too.
Well, we have coming up our first guest right now, and her name is Lindsay. She is from Jennifer Wood Media, been on our shows many times, usually on here with Emily on the jumping episode.
Hey.
But we have her as a special guest today because it is time for a little horse show in Central Park, New York. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, how are you guys?
It's good. Great. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it because we want to hear about all the excitement going on up there in Central Park.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's the Rolex Central Park Horse Show, and it was the first time was last year, right? You had the first one last year. This is the second.
Correct. Yep, this is the second annual one.
And last year, you know, you had a bunch of different classes, but it looks like you've even kicked it up more this year with a whole bunch of different demonstrations and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, so last year, you know, we had some jumping, we had some dressage. And, you know, this year we really wanted to showcase kind of a wider view of horse sport to the Central Park and New York City audience. So we kick off tonight, actually, with Arabians at 6 o'clock. And then throughout the week, we run through Sunday. We have show jumpers, we have hunters, we have dressage. And then we have some special exhibitions to showcase as well. So there's a lot going on.
Now, you're starting with Arabians. They are known for endurance. Do you have endurance riders riding around the edge of the park like 100 times?
We wish. Unfortunately, all that's going on in the park this week, we're kind of sequestered to Woman Ring.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
You have a little issue going to be happening tomorrow I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
But now, so you have Grand Prix jumping, you have the dressage, and there's some big money in some of these classes.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, tomorrow we kick off with a U25 Grand Prix for $25,000. And basically that's for riders that are younger than 25. And so we get to showcase a little bit of the younger talent in the sport. And then that followed by a $40,000 speed class. And then throughout the week, obviously the highlight event for show jumpers is on Friday. And that's a $212,000 Grand Prix.
Is that the one that Georgina Bloomberg won last year?
Yeah, so Georgina won the first Grand Prix we had in Central Park last year, and she's back to defend her title on a different horse this year, but we'll see what she can do.
I just read a press release. It's just kind of off the topic, but I just remembered it, that Breyer is going to be there. Jamie collects a lot of Breyers. Breyer is going to be there showcasing the new Vallegro and American Pharoah, right?
Yeah, absolutely. They are sponsoring...
Oh my gosh, I need them both.
Yeah, they're sponsoring a couple of our classes, and actually Charlotte Dujardin is going to be here.
Oh, really?
So yeah, she's unfortunately Vallegro's taking a well-deserved rest, but she's going to be here, and so Breyer's unveiling their Vallegro model this weekend, and so they'll be here with that, which is exciting.
Oh, that's a celebrity get right there. That's
exactly.
Hey, and I saw this is just a side note too. I saw Breyer is now going to do a George Morris doll.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, so we actually kind of did a little bit of a soft launch of that yesterday at our press conference. So, you know, Mark Bellissimo and the whole team at Equestrian Sport Productions is really dedicated to giving back to charities. And there's a charity component to the horse show this year, but they, through the Chronicle of the Horse, they developed the Chronicle Support Network, and they're actually selling George Morris action figures that talk. And
that's great. Do you pull the little string and he tells you you're doing it all wrong? Is that
exactly
what
happened?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Is that
they
true?
Recorded, recorded like 20 of his famous sayings. And so you press a button and he tells them to you. And so that's an exciting thing that we just actually launched yesterday.
Oh my God. You don't need to pay $1,000 for his clinic. You can just get the doll.
That's so genius. Pull the string and he yells at you, get your heels down, or just get off. Just get off your horse.
Just get off your horse. You shouldn't be
Never
riding.
Never ride again. Never ride again.
That's funny. Only horse people would understand that whole thing.
Exactly.
So now you got this little issue tomorrow, or Friday actually, coming to New York. And what timing, right? I mean, this has got to be a nightmare for you guys. So now the Pope is making a trip to the United States, and he happens to be going to, of all places, Central Park on Friday. Mm-hmm. Now, how do you control your people and the million people that are going to be coming to see the Pope in Central Park and all the horses and all the security? I cannot imagine what that's going to be like, especially for you that has to coordinate the press and all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we're actually, you know, it's a little bit of a mixed blessing, to be honest with you, because so basically, you know, what we're communicating to people is that the Pope is actually coming through Central Park on the west side. So we're encouraging people to come to the horse show at 5th or 6th Avenue on Central Park South. So kind of staying away from the west side of Central Park. They shouldn't have any trouble getting in. Obviously, you know, we recommend people getting there early and using public transportation when possible. But we're actually pretty excited that the park is going to be so full with the Pope being here. But also there's actually a concert by Beyonce the same night as well. So
wait a minute. Beyonce and the Pope are in the same park?
All the single ladies. Oh, my God. The Pope is going to be jamming.
Beyonce. We have Charlotte Desjardins, Beyonce, and the Pope all in the same park.
Yeah.
And a George Morris doll.
Okay. George Morris, Charlotte, and the Pope walk into a bar. Okay. I got to come up with something. There's something there.
There's something there, that's for sure.
But we're really excited that the park is going to be so full, and hopefully, you know, some people that either, you know, have never seen a horse show before or never got the opportunity to come to Central Park and see one are able to catch a glimpse of these horses, you know, doing
well,
what they
it
do.
Depends.
So we're excited.
Is the Beyonce concert free?
I think it is, actually. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it is free.
Well, you might get a few of the drunks after.
Hopefully we'll be done by that time.
Oh,
Can you imagine the traffic in New York?
No, adult traffic's always bad. You just get on the subway and you just boom, right down to Central Park, watch the show, hang out with the Pope, play with, watch Beyonce. I mean, there's just so much to do.
I can't imagine the mounted police in New York are going to be busy this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, you can already, I mean, I got here a couple of days ago and you can tell that they're already on high alert.
And the security, I mean, the Pope is like, I can't think of anybody else. I don't care what head of state's coming to town. There's going to be more security for him than anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, it makes for an exciting weekend at the horse show.
Yeah, absolutely.
What are you looking forward to the most?
I mean, I wasn't able to come last year, so I'm excited about, you know, the whole proposition of horses showing in Central Park again. This hasn't happened in Central Park aside from last year since 1981. And I think the last horse show at the Garden was in 2001. So, I mean, it's been a long time since we've been able to see horses in the city. But I'm excited for tonight too, because I've actually never seen an Arabian horse show. So that'll be a new thing for me.
Now, tell us a little bit about how it's set up for the people who don't know. You're set up actually in the very famous skating rink, right? Right in that area?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we brought in, you know, our footing earlier in the week and set up the ring. And, you know, right now it doesn't look like a skating rink anymore. It looks like a show jumping ring. So the stands are built all around, and most people who saw last week probably wouldn't recognize it today.
And now you built the stadium, but the stabling actually is a little ways away. Don't they have to ride a little distance from the stables to the stadium?
Yeah, so the space where we put the stadium is a little bit further away, and as is the schooling area. But it was interesting, actually, yesterday Georgina was on site talking about, you know, how she's excited about the show. And she brought up an interesting point that because the schooling ring is a little distance away from the ring, there's no time to be nervous, because once you're in, and there's no turning back. So I thought that was an interesting take on it.
That is interesting. It was kind of cool seeing all the pictures last year of the arena with all of the skyscrapers in the background. That is not a picture you get too often, right?
No, the skyline is right there. I mean, we're right in you know, the southern end of Central Park, so you have a great view of the skyline. And I think whether the riders grew up here like Georgina or they're coming here for the first time, they're kind of just all in awe when they get in the ring and start riding.
Although at the size of some of the rigs, I would not want to drive my 40-foot fifth wheel into the city and get it in there with my horses.
We actually, you know, we've been working with some shippers and getting it really organized. And, you know, not all of the horses showing all week are here. So, you know, once the Arabian show is done this evening, most of the Arabians will head out and then the jumpers will come in. And so it's very scheduled to keep it as easy as possible for the horses and also the shippers.
Now, we know a lot of the guys who do shows around the country, equine different demonstrations and stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about who you have coming in?
As far as riders?
You know, as far as the demonstrations and any of the events, the Guy McLeans of the world.
So we actually, on Saturday and Sunday, on Saturday at 10 a.m., we're opening the whole site, free admission, the vendor area will be open, and the hunters will be schooling. So the public can kind of come in and watch these riders and horses prepare for showing later in the afternoon. And then we also have a really exciting thing brought to us by one of our sponsors, Land Rover. They have mini Land Rover cars. And so they bring them into the ring and you can actually come and drive mini Land Rovers.
Like how many?
Free of charge.
Like little tiny mini?
Yeah, mini. Children's size. Actually,
that's cool.
You know, Georgina Bloomberg did get in one with her son Jasper yesterday. So adults can fit in them, but that will be really exciting.
Oh,
and then on Sunday at 10 a.m., we have some demonstrations from some of the Arabians, and then also we have some pony club games from some of the pony clubs local to New York City. So that is also free admission at 10 o'clock on Sunday. And then the Land Rover mini cars will be back on Sunday as well. So it's an exciting thing. And then, you know, aside from the competition on Sunday at 1:30, Charlotte Dujardin is going to do a dressage master's class. So she's going to get on a horse that she hasn't ridden before and do a little demonstration for people. So that'll be exciting as well.
Well, this sounds like a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and good luck.
Of course.
Say hi to Minnie George Morris and the Pope and Beyonce for us.
I will do that.
And the Central Park Rangers. They're on the naughty list.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Lindsay from Jennifer Wood Media, what's the website where people can find it all?
CentralParkHorseShow.com, and you can buy tickets right on the left-hand side of that website.
Thanks, Jenna. Oh, or thanks, Lindsay.
Cool.
Take care.
No problem. Thanks,
right,
guys.
Bye.
Bye.
How cool would that be?
I know.
I just want to go. I want to go see Beyonce. I want to see the Pope. I want to see the show. I want to see George Morris dolls. I want an American
Mini George Morris.
I want to pull a string and have him tell me that my saddle pad does not fit.
You suck.
I suck. You suck.
Get off your horse and go home.
I got to do some George Morris quotes right here, so I'll look them up.
Yeah. We see if you can find out what the mini George Morris doll says. I'm sure that's somewhere. Look that up. See if you can find that while we do our song. We're going to do a song here, and then we're going to...
Like, if you just Googled George Morris quotes, everything is one of those memes.
Yes.
And it's a picture of him looking up to the sky. Maybe lightning will strike, and suddenly you'll be able to ride. What am I looking for?
You're looking for the doll, what the doll says. You and Jennifer can look that up during the song. We're going to come back, hopefully, with quotes from what the doll says. And we'll be back. We're going to do a little Fleur Magali, our friend from Switzerland. And then we're going to come back. We have some news for you, and we have a couple more guests. We have a lot here going on yet on the show today. And I'm trying to find the song because apparently... Oh, there it is. We'll be right back.
Spread your wings and fly. Jump into the sky. For the very first time, you're gonna leave your sorrows behind. As long as you stand on your feet, no one else can pull you down, 'cause you are stronger than you know, even when you feel alone. As long as the sun rises every day, you're gonna find your way. You're gonna find your way.
You're gonna find your way.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Well, that we want to thank Back on Tracks for their continued support here of Horses in the Morning. You can also find them at Back on Track Products on Facebook as well.
Are you yawning?
No, huh?
You don't ride well enough to yawn.
Oh. Are these some of the quotes that are on the doll? Have we found the doll quotes?
I don't know what the doll quotes are, but why are you smiling? If I rode like you, I would never smile. You're as dumb as a traffic cone. You ride like a soup sandwich. Oh, gosh. I love it. I love it.
Jennifer, you did find an article. She posted an article about Minnie George Morris on that was on where? The Chronicle, right? Because I think this Chronicle, was Bellissimo yeah. and George Morris that really got this all going, right?
The what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. The doll. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fundraiser. Yeah.
Yeah. And Bellissimo, Mark Bellissimo, who runs this horse show and many others across the country, also owns now the Chronicle of the Horse. So that's how that all came to be.
Aha.
Together. Yes. And I think we're going to, Emily's trying to get Bellissimo on the show here next week or two. So we'll maybe get to talk to him about all his successes running horse shows around the country.
You either go to the hospital or you get back on. Which is it going to be?
That's a pretty good one.
I mean, I had a student fall off yesterday and she stood there for a while and I was very sweet. But now next time one falls off and be like, you going to go to the hospital or get back on? One decision.
That's right. That's fun.
The best exercise for your riding is to put down your fork.
Oh, geez.
He could not have said that.
No, you could see him saying that, though.
Okay. He might have said it.
That's funny. All right. We got some other news to get to. Speaking of going to the hospital, Dwayne Lucas, a Hall of Fame trainer, man. Ended up having some chest pains the end of last week, over the weekend,
no,
I think.
No, he had what they call a low heart rate. They were very quick to come out and say, it was not a heart attack. It was not a heart attack. He just was in his hotel room and didn't
he was
feel
gonna go
great.
To a race that day or something.
Yeah. Just didn't feel great. And so actually, I mean, he must have not felt great at all because they called an ambulance and had him taken and he had low heart rate. So I think right now he's having a pacemaker put in maybe today.
Yeah, that's what I had heard is that it was going to be pacemaker and they're expecting a recovery. You know, there's some statistics here that I thought you'd be interested in. Dwayne Lucas has done very well. Of course, he has an Eclipse Award and a lot of other awards. But he has had 14 wins in Triple Crown races, including 4 Kentucky Derbies. He's had 20 Breeders' Cup victories. And he has career stable earnings of more than $273 million.
Wow.
And that is only second to his former assistant. You know who that was? Todd Pletcher.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Todd used to be his assistant, then went on his own. Now now he's second to his assistant, Todd Pletcher, in career earnings. So not too bad. He can afford a pacemaker.
I mean, those guys, they have so many assistants underneath them. But like we talked to one of Todd Pletcher's employees and he was like, yeah, he's like a savant. He knows every horse, knows everything. Can we have 120 horses in training? He knows all their bloodlines, when they work last, what they're doing, who they are, what they eat. I mean, it's apparently amazing.
Well, and you know, speaking of amazing, we had Tammy Smith, the eventer, on the show last week.
Oh, she's so cool. Yeah, last week.
And she told us she was going to Plantation Field, which, by the way, is in southeastern Pennsylvania. And it's in horse country there in southeastern Pennsylvania. And she told us she was going there after having just won a whole bunch of stuff on the West Coast.
Yeah.
Well, she went over there and she was a ribbon hog again because she took the CIC 3-star at Plantation Field. She said she thought she was going to do pretty well. Well, I guess so. Yeah. And it was a tough course over at Plantation. They had a lot of falls and people breaking bones and a few ambulance trips. Everybody, for the most part, is okay. They're going to recover. But it was a tough course, and she did it and did the CIC 3-star.
So on the Black Stallion or the Black Gelding.
Yep. Good on her. Gosh, I mean, those horses traveled a lot, too, in the last couple of weeks. So good on her. She did it. She came through.
Amazing.
Can she's I also awesome. Give a shout out to Clark Montgomery, whose wife used to host, Jess Montgomery, hosted for a long time, many years, the eventing radio show with Samantha. And Clark won the CCI 3-star at Blenheim over the weekend. He was one of four Americans in the top 12. That's one of four Americans in the top 12 at a 3-star in Britain, which you don't see very often. So Clark Montgomery, Lauren Kiefer, Emily Bashir, Will Coleman, we're all up there. And Clark beat out Christopher Burton. Is he Australian or New Zealand?
Whoop, whoop. I have no idea. Two, yeah. I just know that an American won. And there's a picture of him. He's standing under the leaderboard, like pointing at his name. Like got that big scoreboard, you know? He's like pointing his name with the one at the end. It was just, he deserved a really big victory. He's been a hard worker for a long time. So it was overdue. Very cool for him.
And give props to Emily Bashir, too, who's up and coming and daughter of the Kentucky governor. And she is really, you know, she started from where you are, you know, just showing at local levels and has worked her way up and is now internationally, you know, placing in the top 10 in 3-stars.
I don't think she started where I am. Let's back up a little bit.
Well, technically, they all started where you are, right? I mean, technically, they all started there if you want to look at it that way.
Goes training someday, but some people are a little bit more, well, let's just say that not everybody takes $400 rescues and tries to make event horses out
that's
of them.
True.
So,
that is true. There are the Jennifer, you know, Gateses of the world buying the $1 million made horses. Yes. True.
Yeah. The Kentucky governor's daughter is not hurting for horse flesh. Oh, gosh. That's like the worst segue into my next news story.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. This restaurant in Britain.
Oh, I don't even want to do this one. Let's go on.
Oh, you have to, though. It's so weird. And it was a restaurant that was selling meat, zebra, and what was the other animal that they had on their wildebeest on their menu? So you could go eat zebra or wildebeest. And it turns out it's horse and deer. Like, that's, they were lying. So everybody's in jail. That's the good news.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you not hear that story?
I didn't hear that part of the story. No, I read the headline and went on because I just went,
oh, yeah, they got busted. So they're all in jail. And the guy's like, oh, I didn't know. I was just trying to keep the thing. You know, they have a million stories of why they're OK. But you know what? The a-hole who thought zebra would be delicious, it deserves some food poisoning.
They're going to be in jail with the people who are in charge of VWs. Right now.
Yeah. We got the guy that shot the lion is in there with the guy that was feeding zebra to people, and they're out
and
there.
The VW guy who basically hoodwinked the EPA for a million cars. So,
I have a Volkswagen and I love it. I hope they don't go out of business, but I don't have one of those.
And if they don't fix it, they're going to have to pay a fine of $37,000 per car.
Oh my gosh, that's more than most of the cars cost.
Exactly. Hey, one lighter story here before we head off to our next guest, and that's going to be Victoria's going to be joining us. One lighter story is that there was another drunk cowboy.
Oh no.
Yes. A Louisiana man avoided a DWI this week by getting a ride from the bar with a four-legged friend. Jake Williams, of course he's named Jake Williams, was apprehended by law enforcement Tuesday while riding his horse Sugar down the side of the highway. This is just sounds like a cartoon. Down the side of a highway in the town of Watson and in Louisiana, Williams had earlier driven his truck with Sugar riding in the horse trailer to a daiquiri shop. But upon leaving the place, he apparently found himself too intoxicated to drive, so he thought he'd just ride the horse. And he said, when you get a little too much drink, why not ride a horse? It's safer that way. The horse knows its way home. So, it didn't go as planned. However, somebody called the cops when they saw him leaving the bar on the horse, and he was pulled over. Now, he did not get a ticket for DWI because it's not illegal to ride your horse drunk in Louisiana. Now, some states it is, but not in Louisiana. So, he only got a ticket for public intoxication. But
my gosh.
Yeah, they did drive him home and have somebody pick up the horse. So, but yeah, there you go.
Wow.
That's my latest drunken horse story. Now, let's see if we can... go ahead.
I'll you just would think out. People would listen to our show and realize that it's not okay. And I'm a terrible rider when I've had a beer. Terrible.
Well, obviously, I wonder where he was coming back from with the horse that he decided the daiquiri store was going to be a place to go.
Where was he on the horse before?
That's what my question is. And how much alcohol had he consumed by the time he got to the daiquiri place?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more to that story, but probably we don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Because it was probably all not good. It's not a good story. Well, I'm going to try and get Victoria on here. See if we can get her on for Horse and Country TV.
Go for it. We'll talk amongst yourselves. I'll tell the story about the bless his little heart, the guy in Wisconsin that last weekend broke the world record for the largest grown pumpkin. You put the weirdest stories in here, Glenn. This is a show about horses, and I'm like looking through the stories that Glenn has posted, and a record-breaking giant pumpkin.
It's a one-ton pumpkin. I mean, how could you not talk about a 2,145-pound pumpkin?
Because it's not a pumpkin show. It's not an ag show.
It's a big-ass pumpkin. How many pies can you make with a one-ton pumpkin?
You know what? You make an entire pie with like a handful of pumpkin. So
it's a lot. You can make a lot with a pumpkin.
It's the second largest ever grown pumpkin in the world, but the largest pumpkin in North America.
Yeah, the first the largest pumpkin was actually grown in Switzerland. So apparently they're into this large pumpkin growing too over there.
That's why you listen to this show, people, because we teach you things that you never would have really cared to know. Glenn is like Cliff Clavin. You're the Cliff Clavin of freaking news stories. Like, not only is it a pumpkin, it's the largest grown pumpkin.
Victoria is going to be so happy to join us. I know it. I know she is just waiting.
Report with Horse and Country TV.
Oh, God. Sorry, girl. What's up? How are ya?
I'm good, although I'm slightly bemused by the pumpkin chat.
I am too. I'm like, oh, let's do a news story while we're in Victoria. And I see this picture of this giant pumpkin. And there's apparently an organization called the Wisconsin Giant Pumpkin Growers Society. There's more than one person that grows giant pumpkins in Wisconsin. So there you go, people. Now you know.
I guess you need to have more than one so that they can compare pumpkins. So how do you know if you've got a properly big one or not if there's nobody to compare your pumpkin against?
Exactly. Now, see Victoria understands She gets it.
She gets it. Yes. I'm amazed. Thank you, Victoria. Don't help him, please. Don't help.
Don't encourage him.
So where have you been? We didn't talk to you last week. You've been doing some exciting things, right?
I have. I've been, I think I spoke to you after I got back from Aachen, which is very exciting. And then I've been up in Scotland for Blair Castle, where we had the European Eventing Championships. So that was really cool. And obviously Germany won everything by 50 penalties, which is quite impressive. They had 11 show jumps in hand going into the final day. So yeah, quite impressive.
Man, that's it. Was just absolutely a great weekend for them. And Michael Young just runs the world anyway. So pretty sure. I don't know how that guy, how does he do it?
It is impressive. He just wins everything and is so such a cool customer. And I think he's amazing. But and I'm sure you guys have talked about it already, but he apparently broke his leg where he fell at Burley. And so when he was at Blair Castle, he was traveling around on one of those Segways because he couldn't walk very well. So he walked this ridiculous course on a Segway and then won European gold with a broken bone in his leg. That is how amazing Michael Young is.
I mean, it's not like a major bone. It's only his leg.
Who needs that when you're riding, right?
God.
Yeah.
And he was riding an 8-year-old horse. And as somebody put on Twitter, most people take their 8-year-olds to an unaffiliated competition. He takes his to the European Championships. It's ridiculous.
He's absolutely.
Hey, amazing. I did talk to. We're doing our first horse husbands episode. We're going to be doing it once a month. And Elisa Wallace's husband, who actually just competed in Europe for the first time over the weekend, and he was over there, and he said they were stabled right next to Michael Young.
Wow.
And so he said every morning we'd see him, we'd chat with him and everything. And they said he's a super nice guy. He was just like anybody else. He'd just walk in, he'd talk to you, ask you how your day was going. And he was just a super nice guy.
So. Yeah, he seems lovely. I love it, though, when the Germans come, because they come to a press conference. And there's one rider, Ingrid Klimke, who's doing really well this season. And she's got brilliant English and she can make really good jokes and stuff. And the other guys can all speak good English, but they're a bit more kind of straight. And they always say, I had a nice feeling. So they're like, I had a nice feeling in the dressage. And then in the show jumping, I got a nice feeling from my horse, also gave me a nice feeling. They've obviously all learned this phrase and they love using it. So, yeah. But English,
well, I'll tell you the phrase that everybody over here uses. Cowboys use this phrase especially. You'll hear it a lot in the raining and stuff, is I'm blessed. I feel blessed. So the nice feeling over there is blessed over here.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
You know, I went in for that slide and stop, and I sat back, and I'm just really blessed that he just went right out.
That's exactly right.
That's so annoying.
We have that over here with our show jumpers. They always say he jumped fantastic, which doesn't really make sense. He jumped fantastic. And we obviously know that he jumped fantastically because he has just won a class. So they need to say something a little bit more interesting. They're like, yeah, jumped great, jumped fantastic. And that's what they all say every time.
Oh, you got to get good at this. It's like football players. I just left it up to God. And because God is in the football field with you. He's the one who hiked the ball. And I'm just really blessed. And it was just fantastic. So they tie it all together. Gosh.
Yeah. Right. And yeah, not good.
Thank God nobody interviews me. So aside from winning everything, talk to us a little bit about, we just mentioned it, but Blenheim, Clark Montgomery taking the big victory there.
I mean, not quite as definitive a victory as Michael Young, but he did go into the show jumping with two fences in hand at Blenheim. So really quite impressive. And he became the third American to win. So he's joining a pretty prestigious role of honor there. And he just did really well. We've got a video on our site actually of him. You can see him do some of the cross country. And it's a big old 3-star track. So it's worth checking out.
Absolutely. It's such a beautiful place, too. Gosh, it's just paradise.
It is. We're very lucky.
I don't know how the horse is. Like, my horse, if I was galloping across that gorgeous cross-country course, my horse would stop and eat. That grass is ridiculous. It's so amazing.
Yeah, I love all these big old parklands and lots of turf. And it's just beautiful for eventing. It provides great going.
Yeah, it does. Now, tell us a little bit about the article you wrote about Blair's cross country claiming some big names.
Yes. Now, this was back from the European Championship. So basically did a bit of analysis about what happened at Blair. And you can find out about the dreaded Haggis fence. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Haggis or with
Burns. We've heard of it.
It's basically, kind of oatmeal chopped with offal, basically, is what haggis is.
And it's oatmeal chopped with offal, that's what I love that description. That's great.
Isn't it sheep stomach? Isn't haggis sheep stomach? Ugh.
Oh, it used to be they put it in the sheep stomach, so that would be the kind of surround. Like, imagine the kind of, if you had sausages and they go in those skins, it's a bit like that. But I think now they don't always use sheep stomach.
Now, do you like haggis? I mean, that's your home country we're talking about.
I like it. Vegetarian haggis also really good. So, Jamie,
well, okay. So, what do they put in vegetarian haggis? Because haggis is gross. How do they make vegetarian haggis gross?
Well, oatmeal is the kind of main basis of it, and then I think we just put in lots of vegetables and spices. So, actually, vegetarian haggis has got a real kick to it. So, I think it's really nice. But yeah, I do eat meat haggis as well, and it's yummy. And you have it with neeps, which is short for turnip, but actually in Scotland it's actually Swedes. I don't know if you have them over there, but that's what we have. And potatoes, and that is our national dish. So haggis, neeps, and patties. And and so the course designer, who is Ian
Jamie
Stark,
would so starve in your country. Jamie the vegan would so starve. We would have to just like send bags of chips over to keep her happy.
No, give me a potato, I'll be fine. Okay.
Vegetarian haggis is perfect for vegans. I'm sure it's got nothing that you can't eat in there. So you should definitely check it out and tell me if you like. And so, yes, at Blair, they had a haggis, neeps, and patties fence to represent. And there's lots of kind of Scottish twists and like Scottish bridges and things like that, and men in kilts making up the course. And it got quite rainy and wet, as it is prone to do in Scotland. So this haggis fence caused chaos, and quite a few people fell off during the course. And so they had to take it out the fence. So it just became neeps and patties. So it was suitable for vegetarians after all. They got rid of the haggis.
Well, what happens then, just curiosity, so you had a number of people fall off, and I've seen this at other events, and then they pulled one of the three in that obstacles in that jump out. So now what happens then to the people who fell off?
Well, there's nothing they can do. That's kind of the sport, and as the course designer said, you know, it's kind of just tough luck if that happens. And obviously they took it out because the weather was getting worse and the ground was getting worse. So Okay. Earlier on they had a chance to clear, you know, they had better going and a better chance of getting over the fence, whereas later on it became dangerous. So I think if you had a refusal or a run out at that fence, you have those taken away, but if you fell off, then there's nothing you can do, because it's not as if, you know, you could get back on your horse and then continue around the rest of the course a few hours later. So yeah, that's just the rules of the sport, sadly.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And you also, did I see that you brought your horse out here recently?
Yeah, I took her and did a little event, just a little intro one. And she was good. We got her best ever dressage score and just won the intro jumping. So if I could go clear within the time, I might make it into the top 10. And we got 17 time penalties. Me on my off the track thoroughbred.
Look at you.
So frustrating. And so we ended up being 25th out of 30 odd, which is pretty rubbish. And considering our dressage score was quite good, it's a little bit.
That's terrific. You're all new to this. It's good.
Yes, indeed.
You get around alive. I always thought, as a horse husband of an eventer, if she got around alive, I was happy. If the horse is alive, she's alive, everybody's alive, I'm happy.
Oh, yes, no. I think because my other half wasn't watching, he was too busy watching football and NFL back at home. But he was asking for updates. And when he heard that, I was kind of done quite well after the dress. He's like, you've got to get within the time, you've got to go fast. And then I didn't. And he owned my mare as a racehorse, and she was pretty rubbish as a racehorse. So I don't, the last thing he wants to hear is that she's still too slow.
They're still too slow. Still not winning anything. I got to tell you what, we're doing our first horse husbands episode here tomorrow. I'm going to send you the link. You can have him listen to it, because it's all just horse husbands. And the first episode is all horse husbands of eventers. So he will relate to everything he hears in that episode. We recorded it last night. So I'll send you the link. He can take a listen.
Yes.
He needs to be on the show.
We need to get him on the show.
I'm not sure he'd agree to that. You could try. You'd have to ask him about NFL as a softener before you ask him about horses. He'd probably be more comfortable on that.
Well, he's allowed to whine about it. See, that's what the show's about. No women allowed. It's a safe zone. We encourage beer, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all good. Hey, did you see, we were talking about this earlier in the show, we've been kind of joking about it all day. Did you see that Jennifer Gates, Bill Gates' daughter, is over stealing horses from you?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. She just spent a million bucks for a jumper out of Ireland. Potts.
It wasn't Dougie Douglas, was it?
No. What was that horse's name?
Pepper Potts.
Pepper Potts.
Oh, I don't know that one. Oh, gosh. Well, a million bucks must be nice.
Yeah, Pepper Potts. She took Pepper Potts home here to her $18 million estate in Wellington.
Wow. Between her and Springsteen and
Georgina Bloomberg.
Yes, that yes. one. And yes. I don't know if you guys know, but Roman Abramovich, I can't say his name, a Russian football owner, his daughter is competing. So it's all these like kind of multi billionaires who suddenly have got daughters who are competing. And it's kind of making things a bit tough for the rest of us.
Yeah, they're going to be plucking all the good horses out of England here shortly.
You know, here's the thing is it just really spells out what an everyday man sport show jumping is. Just it's just for the everyday person.
Absolutely.
Just if you want to show jump, you just go get yourself a little rescue horse and you go on out there and compete because it's a level playing field.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
or apparently an OTTB that really sucked on the track. That would be great cross country.
Oh, poor girl.
Yeah, not ideal. So show jump, I don't know if it's the same over with you guys, but here show jumping is the only equestrian sport where you've got even semi-decent prize money that, you know, if you're winning a lot, you could actually make a nice living out of it, unlike eventing.
Oh, that's the same here. Yeah.
And but of course you can't then buy a horse. you have to have millions to be able to buy a good horse to win the prize.
Yeah, it's kind of the catch 22 there, isn't it? Yeah.
Whereas, you know, in eventing you can use people do get off the track thoroughbreds and freebies and turn them into 4-star eventers. It does happen. So
but they do that and they still don't win much money. See, that's the difference.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the top ones over here, like badminton and Burley, is probably about 50,000 or 60,000 pounds or something. So, and that's the most prestigious event in the world.
And over here, that's a Friday night jumping class at every week.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. Same thing over here. You know, the other sport, and I don't know, you don't have it. Well, you have a little bit of it over there, but I don't think it has the money it does over here, is reining.
Reining
over here. I mean, those guys win tons of money.
I've heard. Yeah. Maybe I should swap.
Practice your sliding stops. Maybe the mare would be good at that.
She is quite good at sliding stops, usually when there's a jump in front. No, I'm only kidding. She's actually very bold. She does not refuse. I will just make that clear now. But no, she can stop quite quickly, and she's really good at like pirouettes. So maybe this is my calling, but she's 17 hands high, so that's quite big for a reining horse.
Yeah, it is quite big for a reining horse. Yeah.
Sliding stops in front of jumps and then spins when she she spooks.
Yes, exactly.
That sounds like my horse.
You put all that together and you have a reining test. It's perfect.
Oh, I'm going to go and get it this afternoon when I go and ride.
You need a big old Western saddle, you'll be good to go.
Yes, indeed. I'm heading up to stables after work today. I'm very busy working at the moment and also watching Scotland and Japan in the Rugby World Cup. So when that's over, I'm going to go and practice reining for the first time.
Okay, you do that. Let us know how that goes next week, okay?
I will do.
Thanks, Victoria.
You're very welcome.
Horseandcountry.tv.
Love it.
She's in a mood today.
My horse sliding stops. Yes, right in front of the jump.
All right.
We've all been there.
We have one other guest to get to yet. She's a listener of ours, and she dropped me a note about something that's going on with the Pennsylvania Equine Council. And of course, Jennifer and I grew up in Pennsylvania, so we have a soft spot for Pennsylvania. Her name is Nancy Yesko. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for inviting me to call in.
No problem.
I love the show, by the way.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you listening.
I just wanted to tell your listeners about this summer fundraiser that we've been having. It's a photo contest, and we're hoping to get enough money raised that we can print a really nice, high-quality 16-month calendar. Actually, we are going to. But right now, we only have 110 entries, and I was hoping that I could inspire your audience to send in a photo or two.
And these are
hot shot.
These are horse photos is what we're looking for?
Yes, all equine, donkeys, mules, horses, even zebras, if that's what you have. It's called the Hot Shot Equine Photo Contest, sponsored on behalf of the Pennsylvania Equine Council. We have a website with the contest on it that you can go to. If you want to go now and look it over, it's www.gogophotocontest.com/BEC.
Yeah, gogophotocontest.com. And we'll post a link to that on our page. And I actually have been looking, I've been on here looking at some of the recent entries. And there's some cute ones.
Oh, they're fabulous.
Yeah, there's some really cute ones. And you know, you always have, when you do a photo contest like this, and we've talked about this before, Jamie, you always have the mandatory about 20 pictures of eyeballs. Of nothing but the horse's eyeballs, right? I mean,
I love eyes.
I do too. I love that picture.
I'm guilty. I love them. But there's a lot of prizes that we're giving away. We actually have 32 prizes. There's only 110 photos so far. We have 32 prizes to give. And we've already given out some random prizes throughout the contest. Unfortunately, it is almost over. It ends on the 30th.
So next Wednesday. Is the last day. Okay, so get your pictures in. Now, do they have to be a certain quality, you know, as far as... How's that work?
But they can be... If you just want to be in the contest and, you know, out of the goodness of your heart, donate the $5 to any of your photo. And you can enter as many as you want, by the way. But they don't have to be a certain resolution. But if you want a chance at being in the calendar or winning one of the grand prizes, they do have to be of high resolution.
Okay.
The average cell phone won't do a good job on that, although they're getting better and better. But all the specs are on the contest thing under rules. I do believe all the...
And you're allowed to vote, right? There. Isn't it people are allowed to vote too?
Yes. You can get your friends, your family to vote if you want. There's a popular choice prize and a judge's choice prize. So, you're going to get a really good prize, even if you, like, if your fans all vote for you, have the highest amount of votes, or if you just have the best picture in there, you could also get a grand prize. And they're really nice prizes. They're weekend getaways to some unique Pennsylvania destinations.
And I'm looking here. I love Flash of Love was one of mine. It's a little girl with her horse. That was very, very cute.
Now, let's be honest, Glenn. There's one that you love more than anyone. And it actually everybody else loves it, too. And it's the horse dressed up as the Minion. Don't lie.
I didn't see that one.
Button the Minion.
Oh, that is cute. All right. I like that one. I do like that. I got it. Yes, I do like that one.
That one is actually from close to where we live, too.
I like that one.
This is actually open to any resident in the United States.
So you don't have to be
years
from PA.
Or older.
Okay. Not
from PA. You can enter from anywhere. Unfortunately, our vacations are from Pennsylvania, so they may have to travel if they're from far away. But that's worth it. The Allegheny Mountains, awesome.
And you, not to be whatever, but you get your horse photo in a calendar. Like, that's every girl's dream.
Right. And this calendar, we have a graphic artist on board. This is entirely a volunteer, 100% volunteers in this organization. And we have a graphic artist who's very good, and she'll make sure that this is a great-looking calendar. Okay. And it's got a lot of feedback from horse people, what they want in the calendar. You can also memorialize a horse by picking a calendar day, first come, first serve. And for $10, you can put their picture on that day.
Very good. Well, it's gogophotocontest.com is where you can find the information about it. And thank you so much for letting us know, Nancy, and for joining us, Pennsylvania Horse Council. And we appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you very much. And I hope that they'll check out our wonderful sponsors.
Very good. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Glenn. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Well, that is, we'll give it one more time, gogophotocontest.com, but you only have a week to get the entries in. And speaking of a week, next week, this time, a week from today, we're going to be coming to you on International Podcast Day from Disney World. Dr. Wendy Ying and I will be hosting the show that morning with some of the people who take care of the horses at Disney World. And we'll be talking about all the different horses that are over there. We'll be talking a little bit about Walt Disney and his history with horses, because he was a big horse guy. And we're going to be doing the trail ride the day before at Disney World. So I will be riding a Disney horse.
Oh, that's crazy. I can't wait to see
I know. And then I think we're doing the carriage rides that night, and then we're going to come on the air the next morning. And what we would love to have help with you, with all of our listeners, and this is free and simple to do, is just on International Podcast Day next Wednesday, post on your Facebook page, your Twitter, your Instagram, wherever, that you love podcasts. Tell people about podcasts and tell them which podcast you like. If ours happens to be one of them, that's great. The Horse Radio Network happens to be one of them, that's great. We appreciate the support, but please tell everybody about podcasts. It is, you know, International Podcast Day. It's to raise awareness of podcasts and to get your friends and family that have never tried one listening. So that's what the day is for, and we're looking forward to bringing you more of that. Another thing special, Jamie doesn't know this yet, that we're going to do on the shows next week, and we'll play it on all the shows, is I am doing an interview with Rhonda, our legacy listener, our one that we think we have left. Rhonda has listened to all 4,200 episodes since day one of the Horse Radio Network.
No, she's lying.
No, she really has. And she's listened to every episode of every show we have done. And I'm going to do an interview with her about podcasting and her listening and stuff. So we're going to put that out next week, too, in honor of International Podcast Day. I don't know. I haven't listened to every episode of every show, and I own the place. So
I haven't listened to any episodes of any show.
I know, because you won't listen to yourself either. So,
I'm just kidding.
She doesn't listen to the Bat Pack. You listen to Horsemanship Radio, actually, now.
I listen to Horsemanship. I'm just kidding. I used to listen to the Eventing Radio show. I listen to Horsemanship Radio. I listen to a lot of them, just definitely not one that has myself in it.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Sounds like the kid is up and the dog is up.
Oh, my gosh. Did you hear him go, lucky, lucky?
Was it him I heard shaking with the ears flapping?
That was not him.
Oh, okay.
That was Lucky.
I thought you were going to say that was baby Luke.
No, not the ears flapping. But yeah, the shaking, because his little ears are so infected. Oh, poor little guy. But yeah, that was him. That's Lucky. And then Lukey comes in and he's like, Lucky, Lucky, Lucky. And loves saying Lucky. Loves saying the name.
He learned that name in about 2 seconds, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. It's a love affair. It's really sweet. He just loves all dogs, all animals.
Well, that's terrific. Well, if you're male, or if you know, all the women out there who have horse husbands, tomorrow will be the first Horse Husbands episode. With Timothy of horsehubby.com. We recorded it last night. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time. You know, it is no women allowed, which, you know, I can't stop women from listening because they probably will, but there won't be any women on the show. Jennifer wasn't even allowed to produce it. So,
are you serious?
Oh, no, Jennifer either. No women. Because how could I talk about my life as a horse husband with Jennifer listening? You know, that was going to stymie me.
Yeah, you know she's going to... Okay. No, I'm not going
to. No, she never listens. She's like you. She never listens to my shows, so it'd be fine.
Okay.
But I will send a link of this show to Chad so he can take a listen, because he will definitely relate to some of the things that were said in this show. So
well, I
gotta
play him that song too. So
yeah, tune in tomorrow morning. I'll send you the song and the link tomorrow so he can take a listen to that.
That's helpful. He's not listening.
You're welcome.
He's banned. And quit calling him to book him as your next guest. It's not going to happen.
Oh, he's coming on. I'm going to do the recording while I'm out there.
That's the only way you're going to get it. Is you get him a couple beers and you corner him. You're like,
that's right.
And don't tell him to record.
Yeah. I'm going to get that recording all about what life is really like with Jamie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
We've been hearing one side of the story for 5 years.
There's only one side to the story, Glenn.
I want to hear the other side of the story and how closely they meet in the middle.
Oh, my gosh. Can I, before we go, just want to thank you for donating to Lucky's cause there. And we actually had another listener donate. Thank you, Linda. That's so nice. Oh, you guys are so nice. Anyway, sorry. Didn't mean to bring it back up. But all right, let me go take that. I got to go put some medicine in this dog's ears and give him some antibiotics and all that stuff. So
see y'all tomorrow.
I had a good George Morris quote right now. You know what I'm looking for right now? Your talent.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Can't find it.
Apparently you left it out of the ring. Go look for it.